Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Wendy Dillard here. Today is Friday, March the 30th, 2018, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, your second daily dose of happy for the day, and actually your 11th daily dose for the week, because we do 11 during the week and one on the weekend. So we've been dosing regularly this week, and I have to admit, I am overdosed, and I'm really proud of it.
You know, if you're going to OD on something, ODing on LOA Today is the way to go.
Absolutely it is. It absolutely is. And by the way, I haven't talked about show statistics lately, but we're closing in very quickly. Sometime today or tomorrow, we're going to reach 35,000 total plays. And this past month, for the month of March, we're averaging 43 plays per individual person. I mean,
wow.
People are listening like crazy. Absolutely.
So is that
like
one
crazy.
Individual who has now listened to 43 shows?
During the month of March.
Oh my gosh, so they could have listened to even more during other months.
They could have if they wanted to, but this is the best peak we've had. Last month I think it was around 30,
wow.
35, something like that. So like people are just downloading the episodes like crazy.
That's awesome.
Yay. It is awesome. It's good news. It's
much exciting. Yeah.
And plus today I actually got to spend time working on the book. I've finished editing everyone else's stories. And I said, oh, well, I guess I better write my stories now.
You know, and I remember asking you, so when are you going to do yours?
Oh, yeah,
You
yeah.
have these deadlines for all the rest of the office.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, I'll get to it.
But it was fun. I was writing one of them today. I actually have two of them previously done, and I was working on one today. It's actually the story of how Louise and I met, and really enjoyed it. It was kind of fun just reliving all of that. Although it is a bit of an up and down type story, but those are the good ones anyway. So it's been good. It's been a good day. How about you? How's your day going?
I'm good. But before we go there, can I just like make a note here?
Yeah.
Like, are you, or just a question, are you holding up the progress of the book?
I'm afraid I am. Yes.
I just couldn't help it. Anyway, how has my day been? Incredibly awesome.
Oh, good.
Today I want to talk about a Project X update.
Oh, okay.
As we've all known, I have talked about April 1st being some kind of significant date. Don't really know the exactness of it and haven't all along, but I may be getting a little bit of clue from today's events.
Mm.
So even though this makes it a little bit awkward because I still don't feel the comfort of sharing the specific nature of Project X because there's some confidential and private things going on. And I can't really let it out of the bag until I'm on the other side of Project X.
Okay.
But today, you know how I've said how, like, there's one door that's closing and another, and Project X is the new door that's going to open?
Right.
Well, there's some circumstances surrounding the old circumstances, or the old door, if you will,
mm-hmm.
that have come into my awareness. That I'm, as of last night, I was like, oh my gosh, there's some stuff shifting in the old world, if you will, the old scenario. And the stuff that's shifting, as of last night, I got this huge awareness, is not a match to me. It's absolutely not a match to me. And I didn't know what to do with that, except, well, I'm just aware it's not a match to me. So today I was actually engaging with some of the components that have to do with what's on the part that's going to close for me eventually. And I started getting almost angry. Now, remember, when I go into anger, I don't freak out and go, oh my God, I'm feeling something negative. I listen to it. I let myself go there and I go, what is this about? What's the message in here? And I was just like almost livid for, I don't know, about 10 minutes. And I know for others, that's like not a long time, but for me, that feels like an eternity. And the whole time I was there, I was asking questions going, what is this about? Talk to me.
Yeah, right.
And what I got was, this is because what has shifted is so not a match for me. I mean, like, this was the universe giving it to me in such clear, profound, not words, but feelings. I don't belong here. I don't belong here. Like the place, the thing, the scenario that is about to have the door closed, it's not completely closed because the Project X thing hasn't completely opened to me. and one has to replace the other. Well, let me tell you, if ever there was a knowingness that this door is going to slam shut, I mean slam shut, I got it today loud and clear.
Wow.
Because this does not feel good. This is not something it's not something I can stay in for very long because it's so uncomfortable.
Wow.
And so I was like, I mean, there were like not butterflies that feel good because you're excited, but that tumultuous kind of thing I could feel going on in my stomach as I was, you know, pressing in and having to deal with some things that I'm like, this is so not Wendy. Mm. This is so not a match for me. And I've been down this road before where when something's not a match for me and I know that my energy is clean and I'm not having any judgment anywhere, I'm not bringing in any kind of resistance, it always tells me one of two things is going to happen. Either the thing that's currently in my world is going to go away, or I'm going to leave the thing that's currently in my world so I'm no longer in that environment.
Makes sense.
And I have a feeling it's the second one that's about to occur.
Uh-huh.
And so once I kind of got clarity on that, it was like the anger immediately dissipated. And why? Because once you deal with what the check engine light is on for and you have your mechanic look at the car and fix it, the check engine light goes off.
This is true.
So for me, the anger was there to send me a message. I asked the anger questions. My inner being kind of guided me toward what it was about. And boom. The anger dissipated. It was like the calm after the storm. And even though those circumstances are still in my life, I'm not feeling them in a horrible way. I'm feeling it like they're just simply reminding me how much that door is about to close and I'm about to have a new door opened. And so then I started going, so what's the significance of April 1st? Because it's on Sunday. It's on Easter, which is a holiday. It's on a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if any of those things have to do with anything, but something did kind of connect as far as April 1st. There's some part of the door that's closing that had an April 1st component. And I'm wondering if that April 1st component, is part of my signal that the doors have to close soon, because what I was experiencing today is like the how do I say this without giving away what I'm talking about? The officialness happens on April 1st, but the components that I'm dealing with decided to show up early, if you will, even though it's not officially a start until April 1st.
So you know something about what's going to happen on April 1st.
Yeah,
ah.
A little bit.
Okay.
I mean, a little bit concerning the previous door,
right.
Previous circumstances. There's definitely something where April 1st is a marker in that respect. And who knows? Maybe I got that date 2 months ago preceding what's about to happen on a more official level. But I got to tell you, the stuff that's going on the stuff that you can't see me, but it's like I keep waving my left arm because that's like the behind the part. That's the part that's closing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, that door is about to slam close.
Wow.
And sometimes for me, I need to know that if I'm going to close the door on something, that it really was the time to close the door. And proactively closing the door sometimes is really uncomfortable and unnerving for me because like, what if there was okay, here's a good way to put it. So let's say you invest in a stock and you think you got in at a good time. And then you decide, okay, I think the stock has gone up really high and now's a good time to sell. And you're thinking, yeah, because if I sell now, I'm going to get a really good profit. But you know, with the stocks, you never know. Is it going to go higher? Is it going to drop tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Anything's possible.
Sure.
And so I know when I've played with the stocks, I've always had a trepidation, like it feels like the right time to sell, but what if I miss the timing? So if I sell and then the next day it goes up like 10% more, I get so mad at myself because I'm like, see, I should have held on longer.
Mm-hmm.
That's yep. Exactly what this is like.
Okay.
It's kind of like I'm about to sell my stock on something. And because of what I experienced today, it was kind of letting me know the stock is about to drop. Get the hell out now. Do not proceed. Do not collect $200. Don't look for more. Even if it goes up a teeny bit tomorrow, doesn't matter, because this stock is about to drop big time. It's about to blow up. Get out now.
I have this mental image of Wendy in the old Wall Street, New York Stock Exchange, before they put computers in everywhere so that you don't have the crowds. But it used to be they had like crowds of these people mm-hmm. screaming like, buy, buy, sell, sell. And I could just hear Wendy, sell, sell, sell.
Exactly. Exactly. And I feel like today's scenario where I got into a situation where the anger was so intense was my inner being's way of saying, it is time to get out of that stock. And now you don't have to wonder anymore, like, is now really the best time? Because I got my own answer. The answer is yes. It's time to sell the stock. It's time to get out of Dodge.
Mm.
So,
wow.
It's a wonderful feeling. And if anybody from, you know, like listeners, if you can feel energy, I'm sure you can connect with what I'm talking about and you'll relate and you go, yep, it's absolutely time for Wendy to sell that stock,
uh-huh.
even though it's not really a stock. It's time to get out of Dodge. And when I was sharing this idea with my friend Keisha, we both were like having big time goosebumps as I was talking about it. And goosebumps, ooh, I just got goosebumps again. They indicate an electrical charge going through your body. And the way I like to think of it is it's my inner being or source energy. And I are in such an alignment that there's actually an electrical impulse that I can feel with my physical body. So that's the meaning for goosebumps. So when I get goosebumps when I'm talking about something, woo, I get excited because it lets me know I'm on the right page. And
I get that. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. what you were describing, it kind of reminds me of the last two jobs I had before I became self-employed. In both of those situations, just before I left, I could just feel stuff kind of winding up, so to speak. And it's not that I could just feel it. I could see what was happening. I mean, there were situations happening that was very
like
clear to me.
The writing was on the wall?
Oh, it was really clear what was going on. I mean, the first one was a place where I was the IT manager, so to speak. I was the guy who did all the IT hardware for this whole company of software developers. And the company had grown by leaps and bounds. When I had joined it, I think there were maybe, I don't know, 10 or 12 people. By the time I left, there were 60, and I had built up all the infrastructure for all that. But I had gotten to that point where it was getting pretty large, and so I went to the boss saying, look, I'm going to start needing help here pretty soon. It's getting to the point where I can't keep up. And he gave me the flattest no I've ever gotten in my life. Well, not only that, okay. I also knew I was underpaid. I mean, I was overpaid in the sense that I had gone into this with no credentials. I had learned how to do all this myself. So that, you know, that's why I took a job that was lower pay than what would be the industry average. But I also knew I was pretty good at it, and I had proven I was pretty good at it. And I knew that I deserved to be treated better than this. I either deserved to be paid, you know, industry average at least, or I deserved to have some help, one or the other. And I was told no to both. Not only that, they had set up a second office. This was in Connecticut. There was a second office they had set up with the other main partner in Georgia. And they had ordered me to fly down there. Well, first of all, before I flew down there, they had ordered me to coordinate setting up the networking infrastructure for the new office, which I had never done before. I had no experience with it. I didn't even know how the technology worked. But I was the one to do it because I was the only one who handled the hardware side. So, okay, fine. So did as much as I could from afar in advance because there was only enough budget for me to make one trip down there. Flew down the day before the big reveal, so to speak, and found that all the things that I had asked the people in that office to order for me, they had failed to order properly. So I had none of the tools available to me. And I literally worked all night, overnight, to get the thing ready for the next morning, and I missed the launch by 1 hour and got put on the carpet for it.
Oh.
Now, meantime, I had just met Louise. This is my first time away from her, and I had promised that when I got down there, I was going to call her. Well, I never made it to the hotel room because I realized what the emergency was. I just worked overnight. I'd completely forgotten to call her. She's in a panic mode.
Oh,
my God, where's Walt? And she's calling around and trying to find, you know, calling my office, trying to, nobody knew where I was. Nobody could figure out what was going on. Nobody ever tried calling me at the office down in Georgia for God knows what reason, but they never did. Bottom line, after I got chewed out for doing my job with little or no help, actually with no help and with insufficient resources, and not hitting the deadline that they had artificially put in place, that actually, by the way, didn't hurt anybody. There was no detrimental effect to me missing the deadline. It was just a deadline they put in place, but I got put on the carpet for it. Well, I knew that I couldn't stay there anymore. I had to get out. And I put out feelers to a headhunter, and it turned out the skills I had developed, even though I didn't have official university credentials, were good enough for me to get a job at Phoenix Insurance, pretty good size insurance company, medium-sized insurance company, at about 50% higher pay without all the overtime.
Wow.
I said, okay, sign me up.
Yeah, so like as you're comparing this to what I'm talking about, where I'm saying, you know, something has just happened for me that I got this incredible awareness. I am not a match to this anymore.
Mm.
I'm not a match.
Yep.
And so one of these things has to go. I would say in your story, when you got reprimanded for not meeting a deadline, when you didn't even have the resources necessary, and yet you did everything you could to make it happen, that was kind of your way of going, you know what? The way they treat me is not a match.
Oh, absolutely.
This is not something I'm putting up with anymore. We're done with this.
Yeah, they crossed that boundary for me. That was it. I was done with them at that point.
Yeah, I totally relate to that. And even though my circumstances are I'm not being mistreated in any way, shape, or form.
Which I'm glad to hear.
You were. It's still just a resounding knowing that I'm not a match.
Mm.
I'm just not a match. And I know yesterday we talked about paying attention to our feelings. I mean, we talk about that a lot, but I remember we did yesterday. And I was really paying attention to my feelings today.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when this overwhelming burst of anger descended upon me, it was like, whoa, okay, what's this about? And, you know, that's the cool thing. If you get the awareness, now, I mean, that's step one.
Oh, yeah.
Step two is asking questions. Now, sometimes I say I ask the anger questions. Sometimes I could say I'm asking my inner being questions. Sometimes I could say I'm just asking questions, like as in to whom it may be concerned. Anybody who wants to answer this one.
Well, in my case, I didn't have that problem. I was pretty clear who I was angry at, and it required no hesitation on my part. But I understand what you mean. Actually, that's what made me think of it, because that's where I had my anger. That particular day, I was furious. Oh, and I have to tell you, I got to finish the story. The day that I turned in my notice to the place that I was leaving, I went into the boss's office. He was one of the other partner, and he was shocked. He was surprised. And I said, I don't know why you're surprised. I've been asking for all this help, and you're not giving it to me. He says, well, we just don't have it in the budget right now. You know, we're under all this pressure, blah, 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 blah. You know, all the excuses and all that kind of stuff. I said, that's fine, but, you know, it still impacts me. Plus, I just got chewed out by your partner down in Georgia for doing my job. A job, by the way, that I had no prior experience doing before, and I pulled it off anyway, and I got chewed out for it. And he says, well, blah, 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 blah. You know, he's defending all that, too. And I said, you know, you can defend it all you want, but here's the bottom line. I'm gone. And he says, well, how much time are you going to give me? And I said, well, I thought about giving you 2 weeks. He said, I was hoping you'd give me a month. I said, a month? Are you kidding? Guess what? I quit now. Goodbye.
Wow.
And I walked out the door.
Wow.
Because I just wasn't going to be pushed around by this guy anymore. I'd reached my limit. So my anger was really clear. It was clearly directed. And by the way, I didn't lose any time at all. The next day, the insurance company wanted me right away. So I said, hey, you still want me right away? Oh, yeah, come tomorrow. Okay.
Wow. You know, and the truth is, even in my circumstance, in this case, I will say it is a person specifically because of how this person behaves, how they act, how they communicate. Is something that just does not match with what I consider as respectful, kind, polite, And this person is never disrespectful. They're never unkind, but they're also not kind.
Oh,
does that
yeah.
make sense?
Yeah, it's like it's robotic almost.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there's a lot of ego involved.
Oh, great.
And it's kind of like there's very little, let's just have a conversation person to person. It's more like barking commands. Now, because I grew up with a father who barked commands, I got to tell you, it doesn't bother me much. I kind of go, yeah, whatever. I'm used to being barked at. But kind of like you, you know, just because I can take being barked at doesn't mean I want to continue to be in an environment.
Oh, no. If somebody barks at me, they're done. I mean it. Seriously. Yeah. Somebody barks at me, they're done. They're yeah. just done.
So, you know, it just it doesn't match with the energy of who I am, because I know who I am. I come into this scenario with kindness, and when there is a disagreement, let's talk about it. Let's find out what are you trying to accomplish? What am I trying to accomplish?
Mm.
And let's see where we can like find a nice happy medium in the middle. Not because I'm trying to say one of us has to change, but you know what I do recognize is understanding something really changes perception. That's how we change
oh, yeah.
perception.
Well, it's how you work together.
More information.
The only real way to work together is when you do it with some understanding. Otherwise, you can't do it.
Exactly. And so in this scenario, it's a person that doesn't want to really get into understanding each other.
Ah.
It's just more like, this is what I've decided. Boom.
Got it.
And I'm trying to talk like, well, but what about and how? Nope. Boom. It's like, okay, you know what? And what I recognize is that doesn't work for me. And it could work for someone else. And it could have worked for me years ago. But it doesn't work for me for who I am today.
Which,
and so I'm so grateful for the circumstance today because it just drew a really clear line for me. It's time to get out of this stock.
Well, it's also, to me, it's an indicator. It's an indicator of just how much your vibration has changed. Because I reflect back to where you were at when you first started Project X. And mm-hmm. I think about how your enthusiasm for it grew over time and how it built up in your mind and built up your excitement and so forth to the point where you're in a different vibrational place than you were a couple months ago. So it's not terribly surprising to me that you know the old situation just doesn't match vibrationally anymore.
I appreciate you even having that awareness and acknowledging that, but I really, it's like just if I stop and think for a moment, who I was, you're right. I was willing to put up with certain stuff once upon a time. And I had put up with it for a very, very long time. It's kind of like a woman in a bad marriage. It's like the woman doesn't like it, but the woman at least has a home.
Yeah.
You know, if the husband is the breadwinner and she's the stay-at-home wife with the kids,
then especially,
at
yeah.
least she has a roof over her head.
Right.
She's eating, you know, and sometimes when you're in a situation like that, it's like you don't stop and go, hey, I want more, because you're so used to the status quo being good enough. And I was there. I had, you know, let's see, what do we call the pre-Project X?
I don't know.
Project W. So not Project,
okay.
but Situation W, because that comes before X.
Okay.
So Situation W is what I had just come to say it was comfortable. I was used to it. I didn't like some aspects of it. But, you know, I wasn't really rocking the boat too much because it was okay. But when one of the things when we started this show, I started to really take stock of, hey, I know the law of attraction. That is one awesome, powerful manifestation tool.
Mm.
Why the heck am I not using it more deliberately and more purposefully? I have been on little stuff, but I want to change some big stuff. And so when I looked at, you know, area W in my life and went, I want that to change. That's when things started, when I was involved in the W part of my life, I started to sense the discontent on a greater level. And some elements of W just changed for me. And now it's like, whoa, it was not comfortable before. Now it's off the chain. Oh no, can't go there, can't stay there. This is so not a match for me. Time to get out. And so, you know, I think the more I focused on Project X, the pleasure in what was in Project X so superseded what I thought was comfort in allowing W to occur that it's like now, W can't stand on its own anymore. I've got to get out of that environment. It's just, it's not working for me.
So, I think we should call it Group W. Then we can make it the Group W bench like Arlo Guthrie sang about.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, you don't know the song Alice's Restaurant?
No.
Arlo Guthrie does this long, winding Shaggy Dog tale as he sings Alice's Restaurant. And it goes on for like, it's an entire album size, like 30 minutes or something like that. And part of the tale is how he goes to prison, not goes to prison, he goes to court over, I can't think what it was, parking tickets, something really dumb, and ends up sitting on the Group W bench while he's waiting to be processed. And he looks over at the other people on the Group W bench, and they all look at him. They don't really trust each other. And he says, here I am on the Group W bench with all these father rapers and mother stabbers, and I'm not sure what I want to do. And then one of them turns to him and says, what are you in for? Oh, it's littering. That's right. He says, well, I was in for littering. And they all moved away from him on the bench. And then he said,
why would they move away from him?
Because they were mother rapers and father stabbers. And then he said, okay. Well, also for creating a public nuisance. And they all came back.
Now they felt they were more of a match for him?
Yeah, now it's more acceptable. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like Group W is where you're at. You're on the Group W bench, and you're trying to make some sort of connection with these people who are just completely different people from you.
Yeah, not working.
Yeah.
Not working. So, anyway, I have a feeling what we're going to read today is probably going to be very much in alignment with what I've been talking about.
It always is.
It usually is.
Yeah. That's the way this works. So we are we're talking about the law of attraction, the basics of the teachings of Abraham. We're on part three, and we're in a subsection that's entitled, As We're Thinking and Speaking, We're Creating. Well, Wendy, that means that as we've been talking here, we've been creating.
Well, and haven't I said that on numerous occasions, that one of the things I love about our show is it gives me an opportunity to talk about things and expound on ideas. And I know that everything I talk about grows in size and magnitude, and it builds. So I know I'm creating when I'm talking on the show, when I'm talking to my friends, when I'm talking anywhere.
Well, in that case,
I'm creating.
In that case, I want to soften all of the terrible things I said about that old job, because I don't want to create any more of that. Anyway, looking at the book, it says, no other creates in your experience. You are doing it all. You get all the credit. Oh, well, I like that. As you observe your own life experience and the experiences of those around you, we want you to understand that there is not a shred of evidence that is contrary to these powerful laws that we are expressing. As you begin to notice the absolute correlation between what you are thinking and speaking and what you are getting, your understanding of the law of attraction will continue, and your desire to utilize your guidance system to deliberately direct your thoughts will increase. And, of course, you will have a much greater understanding of the lives of those around you as well. In fact, it is sometimes easier for you to see it with others. That's true. I've noticed that. It is easier to see how the law of attraction works in others.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Have you seen that? Yeah, okay. Well, of course you would. You're a coach. That's where you see it. That makes total sense. Okay.
Well, remember, I think yesterday on the show I was talking about how one of the things I really enjoy when watching TV is to pay attention to how law of attraction is occurring with the characters in the storyline, because it always follows suit. It always follows, always might be a stretch. Oftentimes, I'm able to recognize this character, what they're saying and doing manifests in what actually gets resulted, and that's how it happens in real life. So I find that to be kind of a fun experiment in viewing the law of attraction where there's no downside, because it's just a made-up TV show.
Right, exactly. And Abraham actually tries to aim at some examples here. They say, have you noticed that those who speak most of illness have more and more illness? Boy, is that the truth. Have you noticed that those who speak of poverty live more of it, while those who speak of prosperity have more of it? As you understand that your thoughts are magnetic, and your attention to them causes them to grow in power until eventually the subject of the thought becomes the subject of your experience, your willingness to pay attention to the way you feel will help you more deliberately choose the direction of your thought. So that ties into what we talked about a couple of days ago when we were talking about the emotional guidance system.
Mm-hmm.
It is easy to see the law of attraction at work as you are involved in a conversation with another. For example, imagine that your friend is speaking of something she is experiencing and you want to be a good friend, so you are focusing upon her words and listening to the examples she is offering about what is happening to her. As you stay focused there longer, your own examples of similar situations come into your mind. Didn't we just do this 5 minutes ago?
Yes.
As you then join her in conversation by adding the matching stories of your experience, the thought vibration grows stronger still. Enough attention to these subjects and enough conversation about things you have experienced will bring more of the same kinds of experiences to you. And as more and more thoughts are brought forth related to what you do not want, you will eventually find yourself absolutely surrounded by thoughts, words, and experiences that are in the direction of that which you do not want. In parentheses, you and your friend will now have even more unpleasant situations to discuss with one another. Okay, now I'm totally freaked out.
Why? Why are you freaked out?
Because I want to make sure that doesn't happen with us. I want to make sure we're on the good stuff. I'm not
okay,
really freaked
so
out.
Okay, so let's use this as an example, because I think this is an example of yesterday when I was talking about how people used to freak out and go cancel, because
yeah.
They want to like suck back in their words. What is it that you feel like you've said that somehow will result in something that you don't want?
Actually, I'm not really freaked out. I'm exaggerating. But I was noticing that I was focusing on stuff that I had gone through previously that was pretty miserable. And I was relating that as part of the story. I'm saying afterward, you know what? I don't really want to focus on that very much. I'm glad I finished the story. I really don't want to go back there again. And that's what I was really thinking.
Okay. Well, and so this is a great object lesson to just kind of talk about, because I'm sure other people want to understand how this works in their world. So if you were focusing, like, I'm not going to use the word focus on purpose. If when you were talking about the circumstances by which you felt like you were being mistreated,
mm-hmm.
were you feeling the pain or were you just using the words?
Oh, I was just, I'd say that I felt a little bit of the pain, but no, nowhere near what it felt like at the time.
Okay, but in the moment you were speaking of it, were you feeling it for enough length of time, like the 17 seconds plus, that law of attraction brought you another thought along that same line?
If it did, I didn't notice it, so I have to answer no.
Okay. So, and this is the point I really wanted to bring out here, is there's nothing wrong, not really, in using words to talk about a prior experience when your intention is to talk about a positive thing. So your intention was to say, you know what? What I recognized was what was happening to me was not an energy that matched who I wanted and what I wanted. And here's how it resulted in a positive something. I got a new job that was a better match for who I am, right?
And it was a much better job. So yes, it was a huge improvement.
And so just because you talked about something negative, this is the point I want to make. I don't want anybody to ever be afraid that if they say negative things, that it's going to automatically result in something negative showing up in your life. Because if that's the case, now we're embroiled in being in fear. And that's not the point. The point is paying attention to how we feel. So, I mean, on this show, I talk about a lot of stuff where I compare my previous existence to where I am now, you know, things that I didn't like to what I now have now that I do like. And I'm not concerned about negative stuff that I talk about, like, oh my God, am I going to all of a sudden manifest it? I absolutely know I'm not going to. One, I don't stay there for very long. Two, the words that I'm using are just words. And three, I'm paying attention to how I feel while I'm saying it. And there have been times, if I go into something that maybe is a really hurtful or sad story, I all of a sudden get aware like, whoa, this is activating some real pain. I jump out the moment I feel that. I'll start to lighten up the words I'm saying and almost distract myself, even while in the middle of telling a story. Why? Not because I'm afraid law of attraction is going to bring some ugly thing into my life. The reason is because I don't like feeling it.
Mm.
And so bottom line, there's no reason to be afraid of negative conversation so long as you're paying attention to how you feel when you're saying it. Now, if you have a negative conversation and you land there, like all there is negative, well, that's not serving anybody. But if you want to talk about something negative on your way to something positive and you don't linger in the negative for very long and you move toward the positive and you really kind of punch that up in terms of your feeling and your broadcast, you're good. But law of attraction has nothing negative to bring you.
Yeah, that's a good point. It makes total sense, and I agree with you. In fact, I like the point that you're making that it's not words, that words actually don't have any power. That's an important one.
Correct.
Because there are many people who propose the idea that words do have power, including some very respected people in the field of law of attraction. And indeed, there are even people who've contributed to the book who say that the words are important. And what I always try to remember is it isn't the words, it's the words combined with the emotions behind them. If you have emotions
actually,
behind them...
I don't even know if I'd say combined.
Well,
I'd say whatever,
okay.
Whatever feeling you have when you're speaking the words is what is important.
Okay, I see the words as reinforcing it if they're in vibrational alignment with the feeling. But you're right, words don't really have much in the way of vibration. They're pretty minimal in that sense. So
I mean, we use words all the time. But what do we feel when we're speaking those words is the only thing that really matters.
For the most part, yeah.
I mean, I could joke around and go, oh, I hate that person. I hate him so much. And I'm laughing. And if I stayed there for a long time, I promise you, law of attraction is not going to bring to me some horrible, hateful thing. Hate is just a word. But if I'm laughing the whole time I'm using it, or like, you know, a long time ago when I would talk about I couldn't wait for my fish to die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is my fish not dying? And we were laughing and like it was hysterical, right? By the way, my fish is still alive. That fish will not die.
After
no
all this
matter
time.
How much I'm ready to no longer have fish. But, you know, I can't kill a fish. It's just not in me. So this fish has lived probably 5 times longer than any fish I have ever had. It's only about 1.5 inches long, but that thing is going to live until it chooses not to.
I think the fish is a lot like a canary in the mine, basically. I think that fish is there to tell you when it's time to make that big shift. And it's just like, okay, here's the signal right there. There's the signal. But I understand
right,
what you're saying.
My point is I've talked, you know, about my fish. You know, I wish my fish would die. And I don't have any, you know, like... hitman coming after me, trying to kill me.
I understand.
Because every time I talk about it, it makes me laugh.
I think the key here is the congruence. The congruence between the words and the feeling. If the feeling and the words are not in congruence with each other, then you're right, the words are going to have no impact at all. If anything, you're going to have the reverse impact because the feeling is more important. If, on the other hand, the congruence is there between the word and the feeling, if they match each other, I do believe there is some vibration to words. I just don't think it's as strong as the vibration of human feeling. And so by having them be in congruence with each other, they will tend to reinforce each other. So, you know, for those who say that words are important, I agree that words are important. I just don't think they're as important as people say they are. I think that words do matter. I think that it's good to use words that are words that we prefer, and it's good to avoid using words that we don't prefer to use. But I also agree, it doesn't mean that you can never tell a story that's got a negative component to it, because otherwise it'd be impossible to live, first of all. And second of all, you know, we'd be running around scared all the time. And I agree, there's no point in running around scared. I just think it's a good idea, as much as you know, we reasonably can, to stay in the positive wording zone, and more importantly, to do it in alignment with feelings that match it. Because if the feelings aren't in alignment, then it's not going to make any difference one way or another.
So if you choose to use a word, or if I use a word, that I know when I use that word, it makes me feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And if I know it's going to allow me to feel good, then that word is actually a catalyst for my broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it's very useful.
Sure.
But,
I agree.
You know, lots of times we're not using words at all. We're just feeling feelings.
Yeah.
And that's still what we're broadcasting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And very often what we're doing is we're expressing after the feeling or during the feeling what the feeling is. And that's when the word's actually getting attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think that's true. And by the way, this ties in with the next section of the book. You know, so we're going to kind of, you know, just reiterate here. But it says, now, if you have been sensitive to the way you were feeling as the conversation first began, leaning in the direction of what you do not want, you would have been aware of the sick feeling in the pit of your stomach. You would have recognized your guidance, which is essentially saying you are thinking and speaking about that which you do not want. And the reason for that warning signal, that warning bell, was the discord between who you really are and what you desire and what you are focusing upon in this moment. Your emotions indicate your misalignment. Your guidance is alerting you to the fact that while you are thinking and speaking of those unwanted things, you are a magnet attracting circumstances, events, and other beings unto you, and so you will have in your experience the essence of the very thing that you've been speaking about that you do not want. Well, they just said it right there. The emotions come first, we speak about second. There it is. In the meantime, if you are speaking about that which you do want, your thoughts will be drawn more unto that. You will draw more people to you who will want to talk about what you do want. After all, the while that you are speaking of what you do want, your inner being will be offering you a positive emotion to let you know that you are in harmony with, and that which you are attracting to yourself is in vibrational harmony with, the essence of the balance of intentions that you hold.
So, based on what I shared at the beginning of my Project X update, and what we just read, I would say this correlates perfectly.
It does.
That first, I experienced something that felt so uncomfortable that it caused me to go into a state of anger.
Right.
And that was indicating that my thoughts were not in alignment. And of course, what I was thinking was, this is intolerable. This just can't go there. And so yes, that's not in alignment with who I really am, but at the same time, it gave me really valuable information. Like, wow, this is not a match for me. And so I was in anger for about 10 minutes, and then I like talked about how, oh my God, this is not a match. This is not a match. And then I got new insight. Oh, what this means for me is I'm not staying here long. Because I don't stay in places that are not a match for me. And as I got that awareness, the anger dissipated because now I was coming into alignment to who I really am. I was coming into alignment with what my inner being knew, which is I only belong in places that are a match for me. And Project X is moving me in the direction of something that perfectly matches me. And so as I shifted my thinking from this is intolerable to, oh, this is not a match for me and I only belong where I am a match, that the feeling went from high anger to relief, peacefulness, happiness, excitement, joy. I was delighted to know that the I want to say that the heavens and earth opened up to send me a message. Like, to me, that's how it felt. Like, this is your message. This is what you've been looking for. It's time to sell the stock.
Yeah.
Time to get out and liquidate and go move on. Because, you know, if you liquidate a stock, now you have a heap of money to go put somewhere else and invest yourself into something that you think is going to be better for you.
Right.
That's what
true.
I'm about to do. So that to me is exactly what the book was talking about. You know, one, I wasn't aligned. and I was focused more on what I don't want, which is this intolerable situation. And then two, once I talked about it and asked it questions, all of a sudden I shifted and I got a whole new perspective. And then the feelings changed, because the feelings have to change based on what you're thinking.
This is true. And
they're only there as an indicator.
And this also reinforces for me something that I want to bring into the conversation, which is what alignment is. Because alignment, okay, we now know, is where our emotions express that we are feeling the same way as our inner being feels, or misalignment is where we are learning that our feelings are not in congruence, if you will, with what our inner being is feeling. And the inner being, I still love this message. I got it like within the last few months, and I just keep going back to it. Our inner being is always looking at us in the best possible light, which means our inner being is always feeling good. Our inner being is having a constant conga dance.
They're always in positive well-being.
Yeah,
always.
Continuously, which means that I know now every time I'm not feeling good, it's because I'm simply just in disagreement with what my inner being is saying. My inner being is saying, yeah, party, party, party. And I'm saying, oh, God, no. That's what it is. So when we're saying get back in alignment, what we're really saying is lighten up. Lighten up. Things are actually a lot better than I'm giving myself credit for, Walt.
And, you know, when we came into an earthly plane here, we knew that the majority of who we really are was going to stay in non-physical, holding on to that vibration of positive well-being. And therefore, it gave us the liberty, if you will, and the freedom to go off and observe contrast and get into messes and, you know, get into the uncomfortable, because we could never stray so far away from the mothership, so to speak.
From the mothership. I love it.
We can't really get that far, because our inner being is always holding on to pure positive energy. Continually, 24/7, 365 days a year. Constant pure positive energy. And that pure positive energy is always being broadcast to us, the human, the one in physical form. And it's up to us to pay attention to the signals, but our inner being doesn't have a problem if we go off and get into messy land. It's okay, because the mothership is still always broadcasting the signal saying, come home, and here's where home is.
Which is a wonderful way for me to remember and to also remind others we can never be fully disconnected from source. Even when
That's
we
right.
cut ourselves off or seemingly cut ourselves off, we're still not disconnected.
You can't ever completely cut yourself off, because you can't disconnect yourself to yourself.
That's right.
Or
which,
from yourself.
Which is very reassuring. I mean, certainly not what the religions teach us. The religions teach us that we can be completely disconnected. Well, sorry. No, we can't.
You know what? Many years ago when I was a costume designer, I was doing I was working at an outdoor amphitheater, and there were cement stairs that went from the box office all the way down to where the stage was. And there was a lot of stairs. And I remember, this was during rehearsal period, I was talking with the stage manager's wife, and we were almost down near the stage, and she had a little two-year-old. And her little two-year-old was holding her hand, you know, while we were chatting, and then the little two-year-old, I wish I could remember her name, decided to like go take a stroll, and she started strutting her stuff because she's, you know, she's been walking for a short time, but she wanted to hold onto the railing and pull herself up from stair to stair. So she was walking up the stairs, and you know, Julie, who's the stage manager's wife, she and I were like now turned toward her daughter so that we could make sure that she was safe. But her daughter kept going and kept going, and then all of a sudden she stopped. And as soon as she, like, not as soon as, but like, she'd gotten just far enough away where she's, you know, I'm thinking in her little brain, she's like, that's far enough, and I'm going to go back down. And she came right back down to mommy. And she held her hand for a few minutes. Meanwhile, you know, us adults were still talking. And then the little girl, she decided, okay, I'm going to do that again. And she starts walking her way up the stairs, holding onto the railing. And to me, that was an illustration, because she was at about 2 years old, And that's a time, I want to say, I don't remember if it's called individuation, but it's a time when a child begins to experience separateness from the parent.
Right. Yep.
But because it's still so new, they don't want to go too far away.
Right.
Because that could get scary. And so my perception was the little girl went about as far as she could feel comfortable.
Right.
With her mom still in sight. And then it was like, time to go back to mom. And she came back down. And like, it was fun because, you know, she and I were in conversation for quite a while. We watched this little one go up the stairs and come back down.
Yeah.
Go up the stairs and come back down. But she stepped, every time she came back, she'd hold on to her mom's hand, kind of like a reassurance. Mom's still here. All
That's
is
right.
well in my world.
Right. Yep.
Well, I think of that illustration as to us and our inner being. Like sometimes we go way up the stairs and we get pretty far away. We're not literally disconnected because we can still see our inner being at a distance. But sometimes we get so far out and it doesn't feel very good if you're too far away.
Yes.
That you eventually come back. And the nice thing is, you know, our inner being constantly has a broadcast signal going out to us saying, I'm here. I'm here, you know, and if it feels really bad, it's like, oh, you're really far away. And then if it feels a little better, it's like, okay, you're coming closer. You know, if you want to come closer, you know, you got to keep coming in this direction. And I just love knowing that our inner being never disconnects from us because you know what? Our inner being is not like an enemy.
No.
It's us.
That's right.
It's us. It's a different aspect of us. It's in a different, form. It's non-physical. It's at a different vibrational frequency.
Right. Sure.
But it's still us.
It is. And it's also reassuring to know and to understand why emotion is what it is, why we call certain emotions positive and feel-good emotions and others we call, you know, negative or non-feel-good emotions. In your analogy, it feels better to be close to mom. So the better you feel, the closer you are to mom. Well, same thing as with inner being. The closer we are to inner being, the better it feels. The more further out that we get, the more, you know, we cut ourselves off or twist ourselves off, the worse it feels. It makes a lot of sense, really, when you understand it that way.
And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, for those who are going to celebrate Easter this weekend, you know, lots of times when you're in family functions, depending on how many people are coming, sometimes you have the kids' table and the adult
the kids' table, yes.
You know, and some families, like our family used to do the kids and the adults, and by the time we were all done eating, it sort of changed, and it became the women's table and the men's table.
Oh, really? Interesting.
And
okay.
And who knows where the kids went. They left. They were outside playing. But, you know, I've been at family functions where when there's so many people in the room, like I know when I was married, it would be really easy for my husband and I to go home and just, you know, be talking about how our time was. And we had like completely different experiences because I was sitting around a table with all the women, you know, the women folk. And he was on another end of the house where he was with all the men folk. And if we were, if because of the space, we couldn't even see each other. We knew each other was in the room or in the house, but we couldn't see each other and we didn't participate in each other's conversation.
Right.
And that's another way I can think about my inner being, where I can get so far away. I know my inner being's still there somewhere, somehow.
Right.
But I'm not really sensing my inner being because I've kind of...
moved to the other end of the house.
Yeah. I kind of moved to... far enough distance that I kind of lost track.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and so, you know, if we're feeling some kind of emotion that feels really icky, you know, there's my technical term again.
Yeah.
Feels really icky, uncomfortable, frustrating, bad, angry, whatever. That simply is just another indicator that we've strayed so far from our inner being. And our inner being's trying to pull us back home, but we feel like we've lost our way. But if we tune in, we will hear the signal if we tune in. But sometimes we let the negative emotion be so big and brash in our experience that all we do is focus on, how that feels, instead of taking a moment to kind of quiet the mind and just pay attention. And when you start to do that as a practice, then it's really easy to come back to the mothership like in no time at all.
Yeah, that's true. It's probably the hardest concept to understand when you're in a depressed state or you're in an angry state or one of the really negative, you know, non-preferred states. It's hard to imagine that there's actually that mothership there because you don't feel it. It doesn't feel like it's anywhere near you. And like you say, you feel lost. You're not sure where to go. For me, now that I understand that all I have to do is look for the better feeling emotion and I'll find the mothership again, that just feels so much better. Because I used to think the emotions came second. I didn't realize the emotions were the driving factor. So I thought that when I felt good, when I felt happy, it's because I finally found the mothership. I didn't realize it was the other way around. I didn't realize it was the feeling happy that found the mothership. But that is exactly what happens. So now that I understand that, I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. I don't think I'm ever going to lose track of the mothership again for as long as I live.
Wow, that's a profound statement.
Yeah, because now I know where to get. Now I know where the breadcrumbs are. Now I know what the breadcrumbs look like. I didn't even know what the breadcrumbs looked like before. Now I know what they look like. If you can't see the breadcrumbs, how can you follow them?
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. It's like we have to have different vision. We have to look with different eyes because we can't use our physical eyes to see our inner being.
Mm.
It's like we have to use our inner eyes. Now, what that means for everybody is probably going to be a little bit different. But, you know, gosh, do I remember them all? Like clairsentience is, clair is a word that has to do with like outside your physical senses.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like the clairsentience, clairvoyance. Clairvoyance is being able to see
right
non-physical things. I can't remember all the words, but there's one that mirrors each one of our physical senses.
Yeah, clairaudience would be hearing voices or receiving voice messages.
Right, and like claircognizance, that's the one I'm most familiar with. That's just having a knowing.
Mm-hmm.
No, it does not require facts of a physical nature when you're living in a space of clear cognizance. You just know what you know. You don't even have to know why you know what you know, because there isn't always a why. You just know it.
And also, how nice to know that if I do hear voices, I'm not crazy. Right?
There you go.
How nice that is to know. That's like a really mm-hmm. good thing. That's a very good thing. So, just wanted to mention that.
I mean, today when I heard, you are not a match for this. You are not a match. I mean, I heard that.
Mm.
So that was a clairaudience type of experience.
Mm-hmm.
I heard those words. I didn't make up those words. I heard those words.
That's good.
Cool.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. We have about a minute and a half left. I want to, first of all, hope that everybody has a great weekend. But second of all, I want to remind everybody a couple things. First, Sundays. We are now doing the Sunday podcast at 8 p.m. We're not doing it in the morning anymore. So, you know, if you are available and would love to listen in, 8 p.m. is a good time to do it because that's a time when more and more people can actually call in. We like call-ins, you know, so feel free to jump on the live call and join us on the Zoom platform because we'd love to have you.
And remember, that's Eastern time.
That's Eastern time, right? U.S. Eastern time. So if you're in Australia, you're going to have to get out your Google and punch in U.S. Eastern time, 8 p.m. to find out what time it is your time because I can't do the calculation that quickly. But so please do feel free to join us on Sunday evening. And Wendy, once again, how do they reach out to you if they want some direct assistance?
WendyDillard.com.
And there it is. Wendy, it's been great. Let's do it again next week. I hope you have a great weekend.
I will. This has been a fabulous week. I can't wait to do it again.
And we'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye for now.